If you guys would turn to Ephesians 4, today's message is Walking in the Light, Part 3. Those who are visiting with us, we'll give you a quick overview of what we're talking about so you can follow suit with us. We are talking about walk, sit, and stand. Sit, walk, and stand. Sitting in your position in Jesus Christ, walking according to the gospel, and standing for the faith. Right now we're in the middle of this, in walking in the light, and walking in the ways that God has called us to walk in, dealing with issues that need to be dealt with, because it's no longer about an individual, although it is about us individually, but it's also about us collectively as the body of Christ. The body of Christ is worldwide. We are just a small microcosm of a local expression of the body of Christ. We have brothers and sisters from other rooms of the kingdom. We thank you and welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ to be with us. Starting in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 29, we will read through Ephesians 5:10. We there? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live in a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talking, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather giving of thanks. For of this you can be assured, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man, is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath has come on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And also find out what pleases the Lord. We have covered some of these areas, talking about lying. We've talked about anger. We've also talked about stealing. And how those behaviors not only mar the image of Jesus Christ, but it ruins the testimony of God's people. Today we're going to talk about corrupt speech. Now none of us speak ill or corruptly, have any unkind words about one another, do we? Because we're all angels. Well, thank you for finding that out. I'm stating the obvious. But it's important for us to understand that part of these behaviors must be taken to the cross of Jesus Christ. They can no longer be resident within our lives in such a way that it's permissible. It is no longer permissible for the people of God. And what God is trying to get us to understand is that when we speak truthfully one to another. There should not be anything that we cannot speak to a brother and a sister in, as long as it's in love and it's in truth. Because that's who our Father is. But because we conduct ourselves in behaviors that are not proper, we run the risk of having the Holy Spirit grieved. And when he's grieved, he leaves us. And when he leaves us, the anointing goes. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage to which some of us have areas in our lives that God is dealing with us and dealing with ways to purge that from our lives in order to allow the life of Jesus Christ to come forth. That's the light of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we don't see how our speaking, where we're not mindful of what we're saying, what's coming out of our mouths. And let me tell you, words mean something. You cannot take back words once they're out of your lips. Jesus gave us a great warning. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Starting in verse 34, we'll read to 38. Matthew 12, 34, 38. This is what Jesus says about people who don't pay attention to the words that come out of their mouths. He starts off very eloquently and he says, "You brood of vipers." That's edifying. "How can you who are evil say any good thing? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good store that is within him, and the evil man brings evil things that are stored up within him. But I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment of every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus is trying to get us to understand that what comes out of our mouths is already in our heart. Okay? And when we speak to one another, it should be filled with love. It should be filled with edification. It should be filled with exhortation to be better than what we think we can be. It should be filled with words that prophesy good things into our lives, because this is what God says to us. And this is what God says should be out of His people. We also know that the pressures of life that come in and squeeze us, squeezes this junk that's in our hearts out. Does that exonerate us from the responsibility of those things that are being uttered that are not of God, not godly, not holy, not pure? No. If anything, it should make us aware all the more of our accountability to Jesus Christ. Did He speak to His people in such ways that would tear them down? No, He spoke it to the religious leaders who were supposed to know better. When we speak words, how is our minds engaged? What is our heart saying that is in correlation to our minds? And you may say, "Well, you know, I've never really thought about what's coming out of my mouth." Well, you should, because Jesus says you're going to be judged by it. You see, words are seeds. I heard a comment this morning about one of the children that I cringed in my spirit. And that parent doesn't understand what they're saying to that child. It's a seed that's being planted. And as you plant this seed, don't be surprised as to what grows from it. Don't be surprised that what you say about yourself becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see, if our words are filled with negativity, if our words are filled with "I can't," "I don't," "I won't," "I don't have to," you're going to have what you're uttering. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Well, how do we change that? How do we get a heart filled with good things, pure things, holy things? How do we do that? Well, with our busy schedules, that does not mean that we allow life to dictate how we are to conduct ourselves before our Father and God. We should daily be in His Word. Why? Psalm tells us His Word's a lamp unto our feet. It shows us the snares of life and how easy it is for us to be drawn off the path. God's Word is true. It tells us about His character, His feelings, His plans, His designations for our lives. And everything that He says about us, to us, is factual, true. It is without deception. But yet, how do we talk with each other? Well, Pastor, you just don't seem to understand. I don't have the words, so I just blurt out. Jesus is holding us accountable. Remember, He's holding us accountable. Now, how do we get that slate clean? Well, first of all, we have to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. And I can remember when I was a young man, I just got saved, and you've heard this story before. I used the F word as an adjective, a noun, and a verb, all in the same sentence. I thought I was pretty linguistic in that. But when I gave the Holy Spirit permission to work on my tongue, I gave Him permission to burst out of my heart. Why? Because the correlation, what's in my heart, is eventually going to come out. And in just the next sentence, after I had just committed myself to Jesus Christ and give the Holy Spirit permission to convict me, I said the F word again, and it was like, oh God! God! How I disappoint you. How I am ill-equipped to speak good things. And He just laughed. He laughed. Because it's not my effort. Remember, sitting is understanding the position that we have in Jesus Christ. It is a high position. We are seated where? In heavenly places. That is where we are now in Jesus Christ. And thereby, because we are sons and daughters of a high and holy King, we are kings and priests unto Him. And thereby we conduct ourselves in the regalness as of kings. That's who we are. That's who He says we are. But most of us don't believe the simplicity of His Word. But it doesn't change the facts. It doesn't. We say things to our kids, being boneheaded and mindless. We say things to our spouses out of anger and frustration. We say things that are not edifying. We say things in the midst of our friends because we don't want to look like we've got leprosy or something. We want to be accepted. We want to look like we're part of them. Well, the fact of the matter is that when we want to be still like them, we're at war with our Father. We're an enemy of His kingdom. To be a friend of the world is to be at odds with God. And that also goes with our speech. We must resign the fact that I am going to speak like my Father speaks. I'm going to speak how He speaks. I'm going to use the tone that He uses in a way that encourages, exhorts, and lifts people up. I don't want to grieve His Holy Spirit, who will leave. He's such a gentleman that we won't even know that He's gone. And by the time we come into the reality that He has left, we have made such a mess of our lives by the way we speak, by the way we conduct ourselves, that nobody wants to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, because what they see in our lives is not good news. How are we different from those who are perishing? Jesus said, the world will know you by the way we speak, by the way we act, No. Stephen, what's it say? What's it say? You're shaking your head. Now you tell me. Well, when you go to John 13:35, you let me know, because I'm not letting you off the hook. We'll wait. Remember the old Bible times, our studies, remember? How you like that hot seat? That's right. Yes, what's it say? Love. Love. Do I love my spouse to think good things about her, to encourage her to be all that she can be in Jesus Christ, to release her from the bondages of my insecurities? Do I love her enough to say things that would encourage her, exhort her to be more than that she's ever thought about becoming, so that she can fulfill the prophetic word of Proverbs 31 for every woman? Or are we still mindless in thinking that things just happen? Are we in such a way, don't think that our words mean anything? And how many of us says, oh, you know, I was just kidding, after we dumped on them, after we've truly spoken what's in our heart? Remember, we can't take it back. That emotion, that scarring that happens in the heart, we are accountable before God. Repentance should be our mainstay. But repentance is an old-fashioned word. I don't have to repent. I just say I'm sorry. I'm sorry says that you caught me. Repentance means you hold me accountable that I no longer behave this way. And that goes for both husbands and wives. You know, the husband is not greater than the wife, nor the wife greater than the husband. We are a team that works together. And if I am slicing and dicing my spouse, the team is broken. We cannot move forward in the things that God has called into our lives. I need to get the relationship right with her. And the only way that relationship is right with her is I have to get my relationship with God right. That's what repentance is. And of course, we all do that, right? I don't know about you, but I'm busy on my knees. My knees hurt so bad that I kind of got these little knobs on here. And I'm not kidding. You see these bony knees, man. It's like, how are you able to kneel down? I don't know. It's not the kneeling down that gets me. It's the getting back up that gets me. I am not perfect. But I have learned one thing. I don't want to do anything that grieves the Holy Spirit, that causes a separation with my brothers and sisters in such a way that my words are so selfish and self-centered. I've had brothers and sisters come to me and I don't justify what I've said. My heart is truly broken. Because if I am not conveying a message of understanding, that gives the enemy room to bring discourse, misunderstanding, and break a relationship. And in this generation, we don't value relationships. We toss them around like a used car. Once we're done with it, we throw it away and we move on. We should be busy fighting for those relationships. And the way we fight for them is, I find value in you. God has died for you. You are my sister. You are my brother. You are important to me. How can I serve you? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I, you fill in the blanks. And we're all selfish. I had my selfish moment this morning when I was asked about something. And I got there and went, oh no! I don't want to do that now! You want to see it again? Film at 11. I am not perfect, but I am being perfected. And so should you. There are many people today who call on Christ but don't know Christ. They say, I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean? What's that mean? Being a Christian isn't being just like everybody else out there. Being a Christian isn't that we conduct ourselves in a way that the world can't tell the difference. Being a Christian is living who you are. It isn't doing stuff. It is who you are. You are kings and priests. A royal household that should not have any of this in our repertoire. We shouldn't be trying to wow people with stuff that is not true. You should see me when I get together with a bunch of people and they're talking about all kinds of nonsense and I'm sitting there and they go, Gary, you got anything to say? You don't want to hear what I got to say. So I'll just enjoy your weaving web of lies and deceit. And they're like, how can you say that? I'm like, it's real easy. I said, is it true? Well, not all of it. I rest my case. I don't participate. Well, you're the pastor. You know what? I still have to function in this world. I'm not of the world any longer. Are you still of the world? This world and its actions and its behaviors of what we inherit it should become less and less familiar to us. We're exhorted in chapter 5 to be imitators of Christ. It is simply being Christ-like. You know, we're not going to get to the more weightier matters of the kingdom if we're still playing around with the juvenile lessons of the faith. Well, what's the weightier matters? It's not the gifts. It's not miracles. It's none of that. The weightier matters is love from a pure heart. Do I love you to take you along the side and speak to you about something that is grievously wrong with your character or your flaws? And I do it in love, but when the Holy Spirit moves upon my heart to do such things. That's what it means to walk after the Spirit. Those who walk after the Spirit are the children of God. It doesn't mean that when you see something that's wrong in me or someone else, that we now have the right to go and confront that person. We may have the right, but it may not be the right timing because we may have been personally injured by that individual. There may have been an affront, or there may have been things that have occurred that we are not aware of that God wants to prepare our hearts so that when the pressure, remember I said the pressure of people who are walking in truth is equally as hard for the people who are to hear the truth, that pressure, how we respond to it, and how we move forward in love is a world of difference than reacting, because that's what our flesh does. It reacts because our emotions are tied to our flesh. Our spirit must gain control of our mind, our will, and emotions in such a way that we conduct ourselves speaking in love. Jesus had the right to say it because he's God. He was trying to get the Pharisees' attention that you know what? Your hearts are wrong. Your hearts are wrong. And when we conduct ourselves in a way, we must be an imitator of Christ. That means we need to be in God's Word. That means we need to spend time with Him. But I'm busy. We're all busy. We can use that excuse until Christ comes. But He says we're going to be justified by His words, or our words. So a man thinketh in his heart, that he is. What do you think about? Do you think about all the pains and aches and of life? Do you think about how life has shortchanged you, become disadvantaged? Like you didn't have anything to do with it. Well, God's in control. He is. And He's trying to get you to a place to use you. In the meantime, what are you doing to get into that place to be used? You see, because it's not just you. It's the church now that we're talking about. How does your little microcosm of selfishness and self-centeredness affect the church of Jesus Christ? How is it that we're going to win those who need to know Jesus Christ? How are we going to edify them to hear the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Not this greasy grace nonsense that's out there. Not this health, wealth, and prosperity message that is deceptive because it's only a half-truth. What do we do with being Christ-like? Sacrificially serving one another. I'm just too busy, Pastor. I got all this to do. Well, you know what? You're not being Christ-like. You see, when we come to Christ, the scientists of this world have discovered something with animal behavior. It's called imprinting. Imprinting is you can take an animal from when it's born and it's new, and you take that animal and you can place it with another animal. It will be imprinted or influenced by the welfare of that surrogate. Okay? And that surrogate then now becomes that person or individual that affects them. Give you an illustration. We saw a movie some time ago about a girl who found these geese, hatched them, and they followed her all over the world. They followed her. She was imprinting them. They were thinking that they were human, and she had to figure out a way to get them to start thinking like geese. She imprinted upon them. They didn't think about geese. They didn't think about this stuff. She became their surrogate. That's all they knew. And as the story came, she bought one of these ultralights and she began to teach them how to fly. And eventually she flew them from Canada, was it? To Maryland? Someplace. And then she flew back, but they stayed there. How much more, when we became born again, we need to be imprinted by Christ? How much influence does He have on your life? You see, it's real important that people are able to tell who we are by our words and our actions. Now, most of you understand I've been working this graveyard shift, and I've been witnessing to this young guy, and it's really kind of comical because after I witness to him, he's like kind of staying away from me, which is okay. So I had this state inspector working with me, and they have all these iPhones, and they're talking about women. And they're talking about anatomical parts of a woman's body, and this guy's got a picture. Now, one guy knows that I'm a pastor. And so this guy, Rich, who's the state inspector, he says, look, check this woman's And you fill in the blank. And I took the phone, I did not see, and I passed it over. As I'm taking the phone, the guy who's operating, Donnie, says, You should be looking at that stuff. You know, you're a Christian, you should be looking at that stuff. And I didn't. I just passed it over and I said, here you are. What did that action say to them? I'm not part of it. I can pass it through to them, but my actions spoke something to them. You see, our words should correlate who we are. Our actions should demonstrate who we are. Do you want the Holy Spirit to be active in your life? Then fill your life with good things. Fill your life with people who edify you. Fill your life up with things of God. And you know me, that you know, I'm not about insulating ourselves from the world. I don't believe in going to church 6 days a week and have one day off. I believe we should take the church to the highways and byways and be who Christ has told us to be unashamedly. I believe that. And do that. But sometimes we victimize ourselves because we turn pharisaical in our approach and we don't realize, or we haven't thought, or we don't speak in how to protect our holiness, our righteousness, our purity from the world. Once we compromise one area, it's only the next domino that will come, and the enemy will come in, and we saw that with anger, it gives a foothold to the enemy. Let us be Christ-like. Unashamedly. If we don't know how to behave in a way, I am here. Irene's here. We'll help you. We love you enough to help you and give illustrations to you of how to beat the enemy at his game. You see, I'm not at war with you guys. I'm at war with someone who wants to kill you, who wants to steal from you, who wants to destroy you. And he is an evil spirit. If I can encourage you to be the victor in every circumstance, not just in the good times, but through the bad times too, and exude Jesus Christ when the pressure's on and squeezing us, then we're on our way, locking arms and showing this world that we're no longer of this world. Amen? Father, we just rejoice in you, Lord God. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the illustrations that we need to ponder what we speak and how we conduct ourselves. Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to be exactly like you in word and deed. But we need your help. Father, we ask that you forgive us for our shortfalls. We ask you, God, to forgive us of our pride and arrogance, to think that we can handle each and every situation. Father, you are in control. You are he who we come to humbly. And it is you, Father, who will lift us up in due season. Help us to become the church as you have described us to be. Help us to love in purity and righteousness and in holiness, so that our friends, our neighbors, our family members, God, can see a difference, and they too would be part of your family. Father, I ask that all who are here today, God, that you bless them richly. May they have had food for thought, but most importantly, God, may they leave with you unashamed of their relationship. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen.